Will you stand for our reading of the gospel? The gospel according to Luke. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, growing up, my sister and I were always really active in ballet, and Christmas was a favorite time of ours because we were always in the Nutcracker. And when I was 14, I was cast as Clara, the lead role among whom the whole story revolves, and it was such a joyous time in my life. I actually remember almost everything about that moment, everything that led up to that moment. I remember the moment that I was cast for the part. I remember the months of rehearsals, the endless hours of practice. I remember my parents driving me to the studio. I remember the dress rehearsals with the orchestra. I remember when the tickets went on sale. I remember getting dressed backstage and the makeup artist touching up my face. I remember standing in the wings, warming up my feet. And I remember taking my place on stage behind the curtain. I remember hearing the buzz of the crowd and then silence as the lights were dimmed. And I swear, I remember hearing the conductor take his last breath before his raised baton took off and the music began. My memory of the anticipation is as great and joyful as the actual performance itself. Advent is an expectant season where we are poised for what Frederick Buechner calls the extraordinary moment. In the silence of a midwinter dusk, there is far off in the deeps of it somewhere a sound so faint that for all you can tell, it may be only the sound of silence itself. You hold your breath to listen. You walk up the steps to the front door. You are aware of the beating of your heart. The extraordinary thing that is about to happen is matched only by the extraordinary moment just before it happens. Advent is the name of that moment, and I am thrilled to be back to share it with you. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This Advent season, our church has been focusing on the four songs of Christmas that come to us from the Gospel of Luke. 2 weeks ago, Reverend Joy Gonzalez helped us learn to sing the song of Mary, which we call the Magnificat. And last week, Jared found our voice with Zechariah and taught us to sing the Benedictus. And now today takes us to the borderland of the visible and invisible world to join the angels in singing the briefest of the songs called the Gloria. This one records the words of the heavenly host who sang to shepherds abiding in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night, "Glory to God in the highest," or if you prefer the Latin, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." The Gloria has been and still is sung to a wide variety of melodies. Modern scholars have cataloged well over 200 of them used in the medieval church. And my assumption is that many of you have sung a version of this song yourselves. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. But because Christmas comes every year, it's common for us to get lost in routine, isn't it? It's easy for us to sing the same old songs without realizing what it is we're singing. So like fools who rush in where angels fear to tread, we rush ahead and sing our songs without pausing for a moment to consider the song itself. Our task this morning is to learn to sing the song of angels, the song many of us already know, but perhaps don't fully understand. It's a song of glorious praise, not to be sung lightly, and yet lightly is the only way that many of us know how to sing it. Because for some of us, depending on our current season of life, a song of praise can only be sung tritely. We know the repetition of the words, but there's little to no effectiveness in it for us. Praise may just be the farthest thing from our lips. Several years ago, Matt and I attended an annual Christmas party hosted by some of our college friends, and it was a party that we looked forward to every year. But that one particular year, we had to leave early. You see, at the time, I was working as a chaplain, and I'd just come off a shift where a young college freshman lost his battle to cancer, a family lost their father, and a baby was born too early to survive. And I tried so hard to put on my most festive Christmas outfit, to enjoy the cider and the company, and to embrace the joyful spirit of Christmas, to sing the song of angels, so to speak, but I couldn't. I told Matt that we had to leave because there were hospitals full of people who were suffering, and it felt disingenuous of me to celebrate, to sing a song that I just didn't mean. Christmas is like this for many folks, maybe even for you. Perhaps this is your first Christmas without a loved one. Perhaps this is your first Christmas without your children at home, or perhaps your despair centers around health concerns or a depression which, for whatever reason, you can't will yourself out of. Maybe Christmas parties are the last thing that you want to go to, and the song of angels seems like the most impossible song to sing. After all, you ask, where is this peace these heavenly hosts sing of? Peace which is supposed to be among those whom God favors. And yet, for those of us in pain, for those of us whom peace seems the farthest away, the song of angels comes to us first. Notice how the angels choose the shepherds to be the first of all human ears to hear their song. The initial news and praise of Jesus' birth went not to the elite and powerful, not to those who were already full and merry, but to the lowly, to those who were all too familiar with pain and life's suffering. You see, shepherding was a despised occupation in the first century. Shepherds were often scorned as dishonest people. And yet, the glorious praise of that first Christmas was not sung to dignitaries in palaces, but to lowly shepherds who were working the night shift. Could it be, then, that this song of praise is precisely for those who seem the least likely to be able to sing it? It was Frederick Buechner again, who wrote a novel about an Irish saint named Brendan, who longed to know and hear from God. In rather colorful language, Buechner writes that Brendan called on God till the veins on his neck swelled and his face went black. He kept at it till one eye got sucked deep into the socket and the other bulged out like a berry on a stem. He gaped his jaws at heaven till his lips peeled back from his teeth. up out of the point of his head, a jet of his heart's blood spurted black and smoking. And then, Buechner writes, there came angels at last. They were spread out against the sky like a great wreath. The closest were close enough to touch nearly. The farthest were farther than the stars. I never saw so many stars, the Irish saint says. I could hear the stillness of them. They were that still. Lofty and fair beyond telling was the angels' music, he said. They heard me cry, and they answered me. They weren't singing to me of the mercy of God. Their singing was itself the mercy of God. Do you think I could forget it, even if I tried? I imagine a similar experience for the shepherds on that first century night. The angel's song of praise was not only about the mercy of God, but was the mercy of God. You see, it was an act of mercy that God would send these heavenly hosts to shepherds in a field, those who seem least likely to encounter divine agents. What a gift to encounter the sacred space between the visible and invisible worlds where heaven and earth meet and mingle. How many can say they've witnessed such an event? The angels appeared to the shepherds not to convince them to sing a song of trite optimism amidst their harsh circumstances. After all, telling someone to sing praises when their heart is torn only adds insult to injury. No, the angels appear to the shepherds as an act of mercy, to offer them a song that would forever change their world. The late Howard Thurman was a great African-American preacher and chaplain at Boston University. He once noted the power of this moment of praise to change everything. There must be always, remaining in every woman and man's life, some place for the singing of angels, some place for that which in itself is breathlessly beautiful, something that gathers up in itself all the freshets of experience from drab and commonplace areas of living and glows in one bright light of penetrating beauty and meaning, then passes. The commonplace is shot through with new glory. Old burdens become lighter. Deep and ancient wounds lose much of their old, old hurting. A crown is placed over our heads that for the rest of our lives we are trying to grow tall enough to wear. Despite all the crassness of life, despite all the hardness of life, despite all of the harsh discords of life, life is saved by the singing of angels. That's part of the thing about the Gloria. It's a song of new glory. It's a song of bright light meant to penetrate through the burdens of life's cruelest realities and carry us away by its beauty. It's a song with room to grow into, a song to save us. So for those of us who don't feel quite able to sing the song of praise, let it be a gift to us as it was to the shepherds, an act of mercy that we only need receive, a song of joyful defiance which doesn't dismiss life's harshest realities but cuts right through them, casting a vision of a new world where peace and favor rest upon all flesh. Glory to God in the highest, indeed. Amen.